If you would turn with me, Luke 5. It is sure a pleasure for me to get to speak with you all today, and I love it. Luke 5, verse 1, 1 through 11. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. Now, see, I've got all of the men's attention for sure because it's a fishing story. Right. I know some of you ladies like to fish too. Verse 3, and he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land, and he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. That's what I love about Jesus. He doesn't go fishing, he goes catching. Okay. I guess I need to put on the drums back there. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men. When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. In my prayers this past week, I was praying, and I was praying for the growth of our church, the growth of Bethel Church Choctaw. Numerically and spiritually, more importantly, spiritually, but we'll talk about that later. But I want to impact as many people as possible, so I believe in the growth of the church numerically as well. God began to take me to this story. He began to remind me of this story, which I like, because, hey, I like fishing, right? Like most of you, I like fishing too. And he's taken me to the story, and he began to point out the preparation that was needed to receive the blessing. So I began to study that. The preparation that the fishermen had in order to receive their blessing. So I have to ask this question. For the blessings that God has for us, for the answers to our prayers that we've been praying, for the fulfillment of ministry in our lives, or sometimes maybe just for simple life direction, are you really ready? Are we prepared for that blessing that God wants us to have? Is our church capable of discipling 1,000 people? Now, if we're not, that's okay. I'm not saying we should be. But if that's going to be my prayer, then there's preparation that I have to make before the 1,000 people get here, right? Are you really ready to get that direction from God that you have been praying for? Preparation. Let's take a real life look at being prepared and what that may have looked like and included for the fishermen in this story. And then the first thing that I love in this story that I see about preparation, Luke 5:2. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. Mark and Luke say repairing their nets when they talk of this story. The King James Version says mending their nets. And I think about that. This was a tool of their trade. This is what they used to make money. It's what they used to catch fish. And they would throw this net overboard, and they would get, you know, sometimes they would get trash or sticks or something in it, and they would have to take time on the shore to clean out their nets. And sometimes the nets would break and get something sharp on it, sharp coral, and it would cut it. And so we'd have to mend the nets. So there's always some preparation that went into these nets. Because if you fish with a net that's been all tangled and it's got, I mean, you've only got 1/4 of your net that's capable of catching the blessing, I mean the fish. What is it that we need to clean and mend in our lives in order to be prepared for God's will in our lives? Or in order to be prepared for the kingdom of God in our lives? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Sometimes, in order to truly follow God, we have to declutter our lives. Declutter our life, declutter our spirits, our attention. Paul talks about the distractions here. Think about what was it that Peter, that made Peter begin to sink when he was walking on water to Jesus? He took his eyes off Jesus and began to look at the wind and the waves. He was distracted. We read about Martha a couple of weeks ago. What was it that caused Martha to get in trouble when Mary was at the feet of Jesus? And the scriptures say that she was distracted. Declutter our lives. Get rid of the distractions in your life. Princeton University Neuroscience Institute says this. Scientists find physical clutter negatively affects your ability to focus and process information. Clean your room. No clapping on that one. Just decent. Clean your offices. Declutter. Sometimes we have to declutter the tools of the trade that God has given us to fulfill his purpose. Remove distractions is a step towards preparing yourself for God's blessing and direction and the kingdom. Sometimes it takes preparation for obedience above reason. Prepare for obedience above reason. This makes no sense. Look at what Jesus did here. There's so many great leaders today that would look at what Jesus did and say, that's not how this works. So Jesus, number one, he gets in, of course, these guys, they fish for a living. This is what they do, right? In Luke 5:5, Simon said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. These guys, they do this for a living. That's their waters. They know how to do this. That's how they survive. They've been doing it probably since they were kids. Their dads do it. Their friends do it. Their cousins. They're all doing this fishing business. And then a carpenter slash preacher gets on board and wants to show them how to catch fish. There is a mental and physical and spiritual preparation that happens when you begin to operate in faith. And look at what else Jesus did. I was about to get to this. Here's Jesus' methods. Number one, Jesus asked him for a favor. Hey, can I use your boat? So if you have a boat and your pastor comes to you and wants to use your boat, let's write that down. Jesus asked him for a favor. Then Jesus asked them to do work again. Now, I know you've been fishing all night. All of you have been fishing all night and not caught anything. Try it again. The third thing, Jesus gives that business perhaps the greatest blessing that they have ever seen. Just a great influx of sellable property, sellable goods, into this fishing business. And then he says, now leave it behind. Well, that's illogical. Sometimes what God does doesn't make a lot of sense. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God has blessed that business with perhaps the greatest influx of sellable goods that they have ever seen. And the reason that I can say that is that they almost sank. Two boats almost sank because it was such a great blessing. So business is great. Business is fantastic. Yeah, and I want you to leave. Now our natural reaction is, well, I started this business and God's really in it. I mean, God's blessing it. God's really in this business. It must be that he wants me to stay. Obedience above logic or reason. Are you prepared to be so obedient that you would leave a business that God is supernaturally blessing if God called you to follow him to the unknown? Matthew 16:24, Jesus told his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore prepare your minds for action. Sometimes I think we need to be prepared. Were we prepared as a church and as Christians to do the best that we can do when this COVID-19 thing happened? Be prepared for how God wants to move in your life. Are you praying for a blessing? Prepare for it first. Hebrews 11:7. Here's an example that Paul gives in Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things that not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. Preparation, getting things done even before the miracle happens. Active faith requires active change. If God blessed you right now with what you've been praying for and believing for, what is it about your life that would be different? God is saying, make that change first. It's like if you needed a car, you didn't have a car, you're praying for a car, make room in your yard for a car. And it's not always the physical things. It's spiritual things. Are you wanting to do something in ministry and you find this passion in you and you're praying about? Begin to make changes prior. I have several young praise and worship leaders want to come to me and say, how do I get into this and how do I want to do? Of course, first off, pray and practice. And third, prepare. I just realized that's three P's. I should have put that up there. Pray, practice, and prepare. So find 10 songs that you want to lead, that you love, that's easy to sing, and you know the chords and you can sing this. Chart them. Get 10 songs and chart. So that if someone calls me, a pastor down the street calls me and says, Jeff, we're having a revival and my praise and worship leader cannot make it. Do you have someone that can help me? And I can say, yes, and I can give him your name, and you have 10 songs ready to go. Before you even have the gig, prepare. You want to be a preacher? When I felt like God was calling me to preach, I didn't know how, where, or when, or whatever. I began to put together sermons. I began to practice building sermons. If you want to be a Sunday school teacher, start building lesson plans before you even get the gig. If you want to be wealthy, start giving. Because if you want to be wealthy, I'm assuming that you want to be wealthy for the good of the kingdom of God and not just to buy yourself a bunch of stuff, because I think God would frown on that. But if you want to be wealthy for the right reasons, what would you do if you were wealthy? Start doing that first. Giving first. Isaiah 54:1-3. Turn there with me if you would. Isaiah 54. Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. The promise was in the future. The reaction was immediate. Shout for joy now. What happened? Well, nothing yet, but it will. Verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Spare not, lengthen the cords and strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle the desolate cities. Before anyone was even pregnant, preparations were being made. Before the family grows, they're enlarging their tents. Before the fish was caught, they mended their nets. Before there was an animal sacrifice, Moses built an altar. You know the changes that would normally happen after you receive that blessing or direction? Make those changes first to receive that blessing or direction. Right? So the big question is this, though. Praying, believing, preparing for what? How do I know if what I'm praying for is truly God's will? It's a great question. Don't be afraid of that question. As a matter of fact, you better ask that question. And we know that we need to prepare for God's direction and blessing. And we talked about how to do it. Decluttering our lives, focusing on Jesus, getting your lives physically, spiritually, and mentally prepared for whatever it is you think that God wants to do in your life. But what do we prepare for? I need to know that this is really from God before I sink my faith into it. That's how I feel. That's the question that I ask. In other words, are you praying for a healing in your life? Then you need to be super confident that God has the ability to heal you. Can God heal you? You need to be confident that God wants to heal you. And you need to find this out for yourself, because I could tell you all day long, that's what I believe in healing. I believe God wants you to be healed. I truly believe that. There's a lot of scriptures that say that. But you're going to have to get in the Word of God and pray about it and read those scriptures to yourself until you're convinced as Christians. Now, I will say that sometimes God blesses us whether we know what's going on or not. That's happened to every one of us. But as Christians and as we mature, we need to be confident about what God's called us to do. You're going to have a personal relationship with your Father God. Listen to these two scriptures here. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. Okay, that's a pretty easy one. And he who comes to God must believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. A reward. If you're like me, my attention goes up when I see the word reward. I want a reward. What is the reward? I ask God. And God says, what are you seeking? Well, I'm seeking you. And He's like, then I am your reward. Ta-da! Then He is our reward. Because that's what we're seeking. If we're seeking to get something, if we're actually seeking the reward and we're using God to do that, it doesn't count. Seeking God, that is our reward, and we're going to be rewarded with that. Psalms 37, 3 and 4 goes a little bit further in this line of thinking. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Oh, I love this. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight in Hebrew comes from a word, anag. It actually means to be soft or pliable. be soft and pliable in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Here's my personal take on these scriptures. This is how I interpret these scriptures. Do with it as you will. I believe that God will place the desires that he wants me to have in my heart. I don't believe this scripture means that God's going to give you whatever you want, whatever you've always wanted. I believe it means when I delight myself in God, when I'm pliable to his will, he gives me the passions that wind up in my heart. As you grow closer to God, have you ever noticed your passions change a little bit? Throughout life, the closer you get through God, your passions change. I'll give you some examples. 6 years ago, if you were to donate $50,000 to the church and said, you guys use this however you want, I'm thinking new projectors, because I kind of, this is a wonderful blessing. But it causes a lot of extra work sometimes. It's kind of a thorn. But I would get those new screens that are flat screens, you know, and you could just control it from a computer, and you put them up there, and they're real expensive, and I would redo the sound system because it's, you know, 10 years old. And there are some things that we'll have to redo, like the sign and stuff like that. However, my passions have changed. If you gave $50,000 to the church right now, my first reaction would be, how can I plant some people in the world that will win souls for God? How can I train people? Do we start a training and then provide for missionaries? Do we pick missionaries and go and send them? That my passions have changed. The desire in my heart is different now. 6 years ago, I would have loved to have two services, about 1,200 people coming to Bethel Church Choctaw. And that would be nice. I'm not complaining about that if that happens. But my passion is, how can we become stronger in Christ? How can we become a better church and a better community with each other and with God, and begin to send people out of this church? So my focus isn't, let's get as many people in. My focus has changed. Let's see how many people that we can send into the world to preach the gospel. I think that's what the church is supposed to do. Come on. So my passions have changed as I grow closer to God. And you may find that, and you may want to prepare yourself. As you begin to grow closer to God and your relationship gets with him, and you find yourself saying, God, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'm all in. Be prepared. Because God may say, well, I want you to go to Longview, Texas. And you're going to say, Texas, Lord? Not really. I love Texas. Because that's a difficult move for Chris. He wasn't looking to leave. He wanted to stay, and we wanted him to stay. But if you are pliable to God, if you allow him to create the passions within you, he may call you someplace else. He may call you to do a completely different ministry. Be pliable to God's will, and you will find that your passions will change. Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What for? Somebody shout it out. Good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. 2 Timothy 2:21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master for every good work. So number one, if you're praying for something, whether it be healing, whether it be a ministry, to step into ministry, if it's a promotion, it's direction from God for your life, whatever you're praying for and believing for, realize that on some level there's a preparation that needs to take place first. Prepare yourselves. Prepare yourself physically, mentally, spiritually. Prepare yourself for what you're believing God for. Then your prayers are intentional, and it's not just empty prayers that sound good, but they become very real because you've already begun to make the steps to that direction. Active faith requires active change. Be prepared. Number two, be pliable to God and realize that He may change your passions. He may change your heart's desire. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. You don't know what you love yet? Don't worry about it. God will show you what to love. When you discover a passion for something and you begin to prepare your life in that direction, you will be surprised at what God begins to drop in your life. It'll just come out of the blue. My wife taught me that a long time ago because it's hard for me. I want to know what's next. Okay, God, you want me to, let's get it going. I'm like, give me something to shoot for. And Jill says, listen, I've prayed about it. God's just going to drop it in your lap. But that's exactly how it happens. I just begin to prepare, do everything that I could do to go that direction. And God was like, finally, bloop, there it is. And it just drops in there. My last question. Are you prepared for eternity? Are you where you need to be that if it started for you today, you would be in heaven? Because there has been a preparation for you. God prepared a perfect sacrifice. In Hebrews 10:5, He says, but a body you have prepared for me. He said, no longer are we using animal sacrifices, but for us you've prepared a body. And He goes on in verse 10, by this we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. God prepared a sacrifice for you. Hebrews 11:6, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. God has prepared for you a sacrifice so that you can be going to a city, a place where He has prepared for you. Specifically, He has prepared for you. A preparation has been made for you. Matthew 25:34 tells us that since the beginning of the world, since the foundation of the world, there is a kingdom that was prepared for you. What's the catch? You are. You're the catch. Luke 5:10, to sum up the story of the fishing story in Luke, do not fear, Jesus says, from now on you will be catching men. You're the catch. And when you get caught, you go fishing. Or should I say catching? Regardless of your decisions, God has preparations. He's made preparations for you. But the choice is yours. Are you now prepared to enter eternity? If you would stand with me, please.